getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're talking about recovering from divorce. If you haven't been through divorce, then the concept of divorce recovery might seem foreign, odd, or even excessive. It's not like getting sober. But divorce can change every aspect of your life, rocking you to the core so you no longer recognize yourself, destroying your self-confidence, and leaving you questioning everything you thought you knew. Joining me today is Tamsin Fidel. Tamsin is a 7-time Emmy award-winning journalist, producer, and author of the newly published, the new single, Finding, Fixing, and Falling Back in Love with Yourself After a Breakup or Divorce. Tamsin's goal is to help you start over 90 days at a time, learning to empower yourself, to find your self-confidence again, or maybe even for the first time, and to take care of yourself and to be ready to start dating. Welcome, Tamsin.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, before we talk about your advice, can we talk a little bit about your divorce?
Yes, absolutely.
As a news anchor, you're a public figure, so your divorce played out in the media. Most of us don't have to contend with that, but I'm wondering, how did you cope with such a spotlight being shone on you during such a difficult time?
You know, I think at first, honestly, I was in denial about it and just tried to pretend it wasn't happening, but that's not easy to do when there are a lot of questions. I was pretty private about my divorce at work. Just a handful of people, maybe not even a handful, knew about it. So, you know, I did what I did through most of it, is just kind of strategically went through my day, and I talk about in my book that I make a lot of lists. And it's really what I had to do to get through that time, because I was embarrassed, mortified, and I was really, really sad, you know? I mean, it doesn't matter whose fault it is or why it's over, but at the end of the day, even if, you know, you like or don't like the other person, it's just sad, you know, when something like that comes to an end. So I tried to just be very methodical about going through my day and doing things that I thought were going to serve my better good at the end of the day and, you know, rebuild my confidence, because I didn't have any at that point.
Right. So I found that most people like that you come in contact with socially or even acquaintances, they don't have great skills in supporting people going through divorce. It's not their fault. As a society, we haven't created the same protocols that we have for other losses. Did you end up fielding like inappropriate questions or prying questions from people? What advice would you give to others? Deflecting questions that you think of, like, I don't want to share that with you.
I still get, people want to feel like, you know, they understand. And so they say things like, I never thought it was good for you. Or things that I don't begrudge or hate my ex. It didn't work. You get past that stage of disappointment and anger, and it just doesn't, you know, you realize that you don't want to carry that hatred, disappointment, anger, whatever that emotion is that you have around with you. There were a lot of things, a lot of inappropriate questions. Why didn't it work? Did you care about your career? You know, I have my career is very important to me. That's never been a secret. Questions about children, or, you know, what are you going to do now that you didn't have children? And I think that for me, at first I was answering those questions, you know, trying to answer them, thinking I owed people an explanation for why my marriage had failed, which is how I thought of it at the time. And then I realized I don't. The only person that I need, that I owe anything to, is myself. And I really, you know, I said at some points it was a little harsher than others probably, but I said, you know what, it's just not appropriate. It didn't work out, even in interviews. It didn't work out, and we're both moving forward. And for me to go back and look back and try to see who's to blame or, you know, how I feel about myself isn't productive for me.
Right. And it's something that I work with my clients on when they're going through the divorce, is actually kind of role play with them some of the questions that they might expect from people, mm-hmm. so that to try and get them so that they're not surprised and so that they do have a response prepared that can kick in that moment of practice when they say, you know, I'm just not ready to talk about it or it's too painful.
My response always was, I was always worried that it was going to be repeated somewhere else or printed somewhere.
Yes.
And so my response was, you know what, it just didn't work out. Nobody is at fault, and we're both moving forward in our own lives, and I wish him the best.
Right.
Because I think that when you do that, and whether or not you really feel it at the time, I feel like in time, I really did start to believe that, and now I do. And now I do really wish him the best, because he was not best for my life, but maybe he will be for somebody else's.
Right. And so you had also just mentioned that at that time you had seen your marriage as a failure, and mm-hmm. that you don't see
yeah.
it that way now. Can you just talk a little bit about that shift in thinking or perception?
Yeah, I don't really know when it happened, to be honest. I just know that when I got, when my marriage didn't work, I really felt like a failure. I mean, I thought, wow, that didn't work. That was something I waited for a very long time to get married. I got married when I was older. And as I think a lot of people do nowadays. And when it didn't work, I just felt like, oh, so I can't believe this. Like, I failed at this. Am I going to fail at everything? And in time, I had to work toward really understanding that was one part of me. It doesn't make up all of me. It doesn't mean that I was a failure in my marriage. It didn't work for whatever reason. We try new careers and they don't work. And not to, not to compare a marriage to a career, but I mean, you can't say across the board something's a failure because it didn't work out when two people do grow in different directions.
Right, and it's odd that as a society we're so forgiving on, I'm going to say mistakes, but it's not really mistakes. Like if you buy a home and you decide that you don't like the location, you sell it and move somewhere else. You start
right.
a job with an employer that you find out isn't what you thought it was going to be. You quit and you find another job. But,
yeah.
And the message that we send to people is that, that's okay to make mistakes as long as you learn from it. But it's not, mm-hmm. it seems like with marriage, we're still locked into this perception that it's not okay to make, it is a mistake if the marriage ends.
Yeah, and I had gotten a lot of questions from people of, couldn't you have just made it work out? And I guess I could have stayed in it. I don't know that I could have made it work out. I guess I could have stayed in it, but I really would have not been serving myself, and I would have really been really been sad. I was lonely in my marriage, and if you've ever experienced that and know what that's like, that's
right.
the last place that you want to be.
Yeah. So the first chapter in your book is Happily Single Comes mm-hmm. Before Ever After.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to people who say, but I never wanted to be single. I don't want to be single. I still want to be married.
Right. Well, I don't want to be single some days, I understand it completely. Who are we kidding? The new single is more of a where we are today versus, what my goal was. But I understand that. But if you just want to be married and don't care how you feel in that marriage, then you can go get married. But I think you need to be happy with who you are, because you're going to have the same end result. I mean, if you have not healed yourself and moved on in the right direction and know who you are again, because a lot of us get lost in a marriage, then you're going to have the same end result and end up back here in the same place. I don't think a title is as important as the core of who you are, because then you will fail in other things. And you know how it is. You have problems. When I was going through my divorce, it was very difficult for me to concentrate at work. I had to put 1,000% in to be able to pull off what I used to pull off with, without it being so difficult. So I think that you need to have that balance of happiness. And if you think that being in an unhappy relationship is going to give you happiness or balance, if you've been in it, it won't.
Right, right. So that your comment about getting lost in a marriage, I hear that from a lot of women. I don't know if it's something that men also experience, but why do you think we lose ourselves in our marriages?
I think we all do it, men and women, just because relationships can be difficult and because people change and because people come into it every day with different experiences, whether you're going to work and coming home with it or however it is. But I don't know. I think sometimes that certain people want to get along and not have conflict, and that's one reason we lose ourselves. Another reason we lose ourselves, and this is a big one, is because we're looking to somebody else for our own happiness. And the minute you start to do that, and we're all guilty of it again, but the minute you start to do that, that's a difficult road and a difficult maze to get out of.
Right. I think that I like that message, that key message of like not looking to someone else for your happiness. You're responsible for that for yourself.
Yeah, well, it's a big deal, you know, and it's, when you start to do that, you start to become, you know, one unit operating together, and you don't do your own things. I don't think it's as attractive to the other person either, honestly. I mean, I think, you know, you can't, you know, they found you attractive for some reason. And I don't think it's as attractive when you just become who they are. I mean, you see these couples that, you know, are one. And I think you still need to bring your own, you know, your own self into it to have your own self-worth.
Right. So in the intro to your book, you talk about starting over 90 days at a time. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk about that 90 days at a time concept? Is it, do you kind of like focus on different parts for 3 months at a time?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know I was doing it at the time, but I went back, and when I was writing the book, I looked to see what kind of like how I had evolved in that year following my breakup and subsequent divorce. And I realized that it really 3 month increments is where I grew. And so I don't know if it will hold the same for everybody, and if they're not hard, fast rules, but I felt 90 days were enough time to be able to make some of those changes and change some of those habits and move into a next step that didn't seem like an unreasonable amount of time that seemed too much for somebody. You know, sometimes when you give people a goal, it's just too overwhelming and they can never get there. And 90 days at a time seemed like it was in a reasonable amount of time to form a new habit and or a new practice.
Right. And I was going to say, I've heard other measures that say that in terms of recovering from divorce or being ready for another serious relationship, it takes about half the amount of time that you are married, which I think for people who are in long-term marriages, I mean, I've worked with clients that have been married for 40 years. To tell them that, it's really depressing.
Yeah, 20 years is a long time to recover, huh?
That's kind of
a daunting task. I don't know that there's a hard, fast rule for how long it takes to get over something. I know that everybody heals differently. I know that when I went on, you know, my first date after my marriage, I wasn't necessarily ready for it. I wasn't necessarily ready to jump into something else. Other people are. So I don't know that there are these hard, fast rules that you can use, and that maybe that's an overall, you know, message too of the book, is that everything is at your pace, and that's why I kind of did it where you could pick it up at any point. You could pick this book up in 2 years, or you could pick it up in 2 months after your breakup or divorce, and perhaps get something out of it. And that's, it has some non-traditional dating advice in it, I think. Or anyway, that's how it's been referred to me, because it's not dating advice. It's life advice. And I think that whether you're broken up, divorced, even married still, there are parts of this book that are helpful to continue to build you and helpful to be a recipe for self-care.
Right. I'm going to come back to that, but I'd just like to remind our listeners that I'm Mandy Walker. You can find out more about me at mandywalker.com and at my blog, sincemydivorce.com. Today, my guest is award-winning journalist and author of the new single, Tamsin Fidel. And Tamsin, you just said that you thought that your book could be picked up at any point, and I was going to say a fair portion of my practice is working with people who are considering divorce, and I often tell them to spend time getting to know themselves before making the decision.
100%.
If they do that, and I'm amazed sometimes when I ask people, well, what makes you laugh?
Right.
And the number of people who say, you know, I don't know, I can't answer that.
That's what I was going back to, is that sometimes we conform and we get into this relationship and then, we settle. You've heard the people that say like, oh, I'm married, I don't have to work out anymore. I don't do that anymore. I don't worry about that anymore. We don't have time for that anymore. Well, you better make time for some of those things, you know. We decided that we were going to separate. We worked hard to try to figure out who we both were and then who we were together, and realized that, you know, we weren't the same people and didn't want the same things. And that's why we moved forward. But I agree with you. And there are parts of this book that you can pick up, you know, if you're still married and trying to keep that together, to know who you are as individuals.
Right, right. Obviously wouldn't recommend the sections on getting ready to date while you're still married.
That part I would say is to leave out. You can skip around.
Yes. Well, and, you know,
I should pull those chapters out if people are going to do it pre. But yes, I don't condone the dating part.
Right. But that also gets to the point, too, and I usually say that divorce is a legal and an emotional process. They're separate processes, sure, but they're intertwined. And the legal process, sure, tries to follow this very linear, orderly progression. It's still traumatic. Yeah. But the emotional process is just this tangled web. If I'm in front of somebody, I just scribble on a piece of paper and lines going all over the place. That says to me, when I look at the books on getting on divorce recovery, it's hard for people to read it in a progression, chapter after chapter, because life just doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't happen that way, and we'd love for it to, but it just doesn't. And I think that's difficult sometimes, because people want a tried and true answer. Like, what do I do now? How do I start over now? How do I go back to my house and look at the things that we bought together? How do I go to the same restaurants? How do I walk in as one person? And all of those are things that you have to go through the process one step at a time, and they're not fun. How do you get through your first holiday, Christmas, birthday, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day? So you're right. They're not in a progression. They're certainly not linear. I still walk past places and go, oh, it's kind of sad that's where we went when we first moved to New York. Or, wow, this is what I really thought, where I really thought we were going to be. Or, wow, the last time I was here was with him. That's going to happen. And I think that's where the, you know, first 90 days really come in, which are being quiet with yourself and realizing, you know, where you are today is not going to be where you are, you know, another 90 days from now or 365 days from now. But it's where you are today, and you have to accept that as you go forward. And that allows you to have a little bit more of linear thinking, but it will certainly never be a clear and defined path.
But your book is written so you could just jump from chapter to chapter. And
yeah,
if you can get yourself out of that mode that we've all been trained to read a book from cover to cover.
right. And I say that in the beginning, too. It really is. It's, you know, I probably should have missed numbers of chapters to make it easier, 1 and 6, and, you know, all out of order. But it really is to be made to stick around, because everybody heals at different paces and everybody needs different things. You
right.
know, you might not need anything about a diet, but I might. And
right.
Somebody else might not need to know how to meditate and turn to exercise or yoga, but they certainly need the finance section. And so that's really why I did that. I tried to cover everything that, you know, that I was dealing with, and that other people who are experts and part of the, you know, I call them my A-team in the book, because they really are experts in their fields, helped me to understand with people they were either working with or their field of expertise.
Right. And in your book, you share this story about going to an event and a gentleman coming up to you that you weren't particularly fond of and giving you a hug. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, sure. It was my divorce had literally just been out that day and week publicly. So there were tons of questions, because a lot of people that I knew that were close to me didn't know I was going through a divorce, and they thought I was trying to have a baby. I had just turned 41, I think. And, well, I was between 40 and 41. And they thought I was trying to have a baby, and so they thought I was, you know, going through a depression and kind of sad. Well, I was sad because my marriage was, you know, was ending, and then it came out in the paper. So it was embarrassing. And he came up to me, he was somebody I didn't want to see. You know, last person you want to see is always the first person you do see. I walked into an event at this trendy top of the hotel that I had to attend because I had already committed to it. And he put out his arms and he said, you know, it's not going to be like this 365 days from now. And I'm thinking, like, oh, gosh, what does he know? And he was right. It's not, it wasn't, and it will never be like it was that day. It just felt so awful, but it's so hard to see anything. You know, it's so cloudy at that point. And for somebody who, you know, I didn't care for and he didn't care for me to be so poignant and really understand that. And those words really stuck with me. Out of all the words out there, you know, you were saying earlier to your point that people don't always know how to talk to us and what to say if you're going through something like this. There's not this clear-cut protocol. But that was something that I've repeated so many times and really felt compelled to put in there because those words meant a lot to me. And I say them now, even for other things.
Yeah.
Things that are not, things that are not divorce. I still say that it's not going to be like this 365 days from now.
Yeah, I read that story and was just touched by it. And I thought, it demonstrates to us that even the people that we don't like have this great humanity,
right?
And compassion and can reach out to people in times of trouble.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And funny, because you know how many hours you spend on the phone analyzing with your friends or your analyst or your, you know, whoever it is important in your life, or brothers, sisters, parents. And his words were just really, and it moved a lot of people. A lot of people who have read the book, that area of the book in particular is one that they go, wow, like this person said this and it made a difference. So those words, I think, have moved a lot of people. And, I'm still thankful for those words.
Yeah.
He and I aren't best friends, but I'm thankful for those words to this day.
So let's jump and talk a little bit about money, because I think the reality is that many people who are divorcing today, and certainly those that I talk to, have more debts than assets. You
sure.
End up spending thousands on legal fees. And then there's, for the vast majority of people, there's less money after divorce and there's more expenses. So
sure.
There isn't much money to spend on creating a new you. So how can you do this? How do you work through some of this? Do you have suggestions for what to do if you have a very limited budget?
Yeah, I do, because I did. And I spent a lot of time paying off debt because my former husband didn't, you know, he wasn't contributing to that part. And I had a bulk of it. And it was very difficult and it just bummed me out every day. You know, I woke up and I thought, wow, my marriage didn't work. And now my checkbook isn't quite as balanced as it ever was. And where do you begin, right? And
yeah.
I'm supposed to make some changes because I don't want my environment to look like it did when he and I were sitting in it. And, you know, I did little things at first with my house if we're talking about the changes first inside the home, I did little things. Like a fresh coat of paint is most likely not going to break you. Move things around. I made things look different. I bought things a little bit of time. You know, 1 month, I did some new bedding. I went to places that weren't expensive. My dresser cost $150, literally. And I didn't go buy expensive furniture, but I needed to make a change in my life. And that's what I did. And then in regards to getting out of debt, because everything else in my life was very systematic with lists at that point just to get through and just to get out of bed, I made the little things count that I hadn't done in a long time. When we moved to New York, we would go to all the fun restaurants and we would be out in the town. And I realized, like, I don't, my body and my soul don't need that right now, but they do need to get back to me. So I would spend a Saturday down in New York in the Village, writing or reading or walking through an old bookstore or spending time walking through the park with one of my best friends, 7 mile walk. So I would find things that weren't going to cost me tons of money to do. And even when I did the traveling, my traveling was a very, very low end budget, and it took time for each trip, and I saved up for it, and it gave me something to look forward to as myself and was part of my healing process.
So you're saying that you don't have to go and join a gym and even if you want to clean out your closet and create a fresh look, you can do that on whatever budget that you have.
A very limited budget, you know, and I found things in the dollar store. I said Target's a great resource, Home Goods, TJ Maxx. I mean, that's where I went. And I think it empowered me, too, a little bit to know that I could make those changes and I didn't have to go over the top and go out of a range and go back, you know, into further debt to be able to make some changes in my life. I'm really proud of it even to this day. I mean, painted my own little, I have a column in my apartment that was white, and I painted it, you know, like a slate color. I bought this, I don't know, a quart of paint. I still have the color because I do my touch-up. It's not perfect. There's a crooked line at the top of the ceiling. This is what it is, and I live with it. But you know what? I did it myself. And it was a time in my life, and now I don't want to cover it up. But, you know, I had a friend come over. She's like, you got to get that fixed. It's just a mess. It looks like, you know, it looks like you were drunk doing that. And I said, no, I just didn't know how to paint. But I did it myself, and I'm proud of it. And now that's my, you know, that's my creation. And it was a time that I really was feeling myself. And well, I don't think you have to spend money on those kind of things, and clothes included. You know, there's so many great discount stores. You can get the same stuff that you're going to get someplace else, but for a fraction of the price.
Right, and maybe it takes a little bit of time to get used to shopping those places and knowing when they get new merchandise in or how they're laid out. But
well, and I also think it gives you something to be doing as a goal, and that was really important in my post divorce. And you know, a lot of people that are divorced have children, and so they've got you know, that time spent doing so much with children too. But I think it gives you some maybe time by yourself to set some goals. Like, listen, I'm going to revamp my wardrobe a little bit so I'm somebody different. Doesn't mean you have to dress like you're, you know, 16 years old again, but you maybe want a fresh start. And I think that those things are important. I found myself on YouTube a lot, doing a lot of those DIY videos.
Okay.
There's so many resources now,
yes,
that we didn't have before of,
yes,
of how to do things, how to, you know, I redid a cabinet in blue. And it was this horrible color. I was going to throw it out, and then I went, I'm just going to paint it. So then I started getting to a place where I'm like, oh, I know how to sand and paint. These are things that I never knew how to do. But YouTube was a great resource. I learned how to do some technical things I didn't know how to do before. So I highly recommend that as a big way to save money, especially when it comes to organizing, by the way.
Yes, and but that also, you know, not only saving money, but all of those things are so empowering when you learn to do things that you didn't have to do before, and it's like, mm-hmm, somehow it just kind of it builds your self-confidence because it's like, wait a minute, I can do this these things.
Oh, there's no question about it. I felt like a powerhouse the first time I pulled out paint and was sanding things. I thought I've reached a whole new level in life. Look at this. But so it really is empowering, and it's, and that all comes back to where we want to be, and that is rebuilding the things that were lost. Look, maybe some people didn't lose self-confidence. Maybe they were okay with their divorce and they moved on. But for me anyway, and for so many of the men and women I've talked to, that was something that was extremely important to them, was to kind of rebuild and
right,
not feel weak and not feel defeated.
Right, right. I remember learning, trying to use an electric drill when I had moved into my house, and trying to fix up a combo lock on my garage so the kids would be able to have a key to come in and out. And
yep,
I couldn't get the hole to go deep enough to get the screw fully in. And then I discovered that the drill had a forward gear.
Oh, yes. Yes. There's... I know. But doesn't it feel good when you finally do?
Oh, my God. I was like, yay, I can do this now. I know what... And it's like, oh, so no wonder they made it look so easy.
Of course.
And it was such a silly little thing, but it was so, like... okay.
But it's not. I think it's symbolic of a larger picture.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
Yes. Well, Tamsin, we're coming up on our time. I really want to thank you for your book.
Oh,
I think
sure.
It's great. I love the message, finding and loving yourself after divorce. And it's so important to do that regardless of whether you want to get into another intimate relationship or not. I was wondering, do you have one more piece of advice or wisdom you can share, something you wish you'd known heading into your divorce?
Yeah, you know, I think you need to be patient with yourself. I think I found that sometimes even after doing things, I would get frustrated that I didn't feel 100% every day. And so I think that you really have to forgive yourself. And not just, you know, for a divorce, but I just think in general, like, every day is not going to be perfect. I still wake up some days and go, oh gosh, is this me at 44? But it is where I am, and I forgive myself for the things that aren't perfect, and I applaud myself for the things that are going right.
That's great. Yes, it's like wrapping your arms around you and just saying, I'm good enough. So,
yeah, there's no question about it, and you better do it, because until you do it, nobody else will.
Yes. Thank you again, and I think your book, the new single, is a very empowering, encouraging way of recovering after divorce. And it's not, I didn't find it depressing reading it at all. Sometimes recovery books can be that. And I think that it would make a truly heartfelt gift for a girlfriend who's experiencing divorce.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to read it and to talk to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tamsin, and thank you for listening to Conversations About Divorce. I hope you'll join us again next time. I'm Mandy Walker.